Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats, a program dedicated to creating a legacy for your pet. Animal companions, your pets, your children, whatever you call them, they are dearly loved family members. As pet parents and animal lovers, we have an obligation to ensure their current and future well-being. Join estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, your host, every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on Nature's Channel.fm. Peggy explores the many alternatives available to help you provide for the future care of your pets. They love us unconditionally. Let's make sure we care and provide for them in every circumstance.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on Nature's Channel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and it is, of course, my pleasure to be with you today and each and every week when you join us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. So on this show, we discuss the importance of planning for our pets. If you have a question that comes up during the show, please feel free to give me a call at 718-766-4996, 718-766-4996, or if you're shy, you can post to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. So because we start every show talking about a little tidbit having to do with planning for your pets, today we're going to talk about the idea of what happens if you have a number of pets, so lots of different pets that you need to plan for. And this is going to be in line with our special guest today when we're going to be talking about animal hoarding. But let's say that you're a person like myself and you have 3 horses, 7 dogs, 2 cats. How do you plan for that many pets? Well, thinking about who's going to be your pet caregiver is going to be really, really important. And in my case, it may be that I have to have more than one pet caregiver. So maybe a pet caregiver for my horses, maybe one for my dogs, and maybe one for my cats. And in thinking about who might be qualified to serve in that role, I've got to make sure that they have the facilities, the resources, the time, the energy to take care of the pets that I would want them to take care of. And if that isn't hard enough, once I come up with that first person, I really need to have a backup and another backup. So that's where people run into problems sometimes, is that they come up with the idea for a first person, but it's hard for them to come up with that second or that third person. And then that's where good perpetual care or sanctuary type organizations come into play. Organizations that maybe are designed just for the purpose of taking on lifetime responsibility for pets. For example, on Friday, I was up in the Anthony, Florida area visiting my friend Lily Barron and talking about a dog sanctuary that she has. I have a personal dream of creating a horse sanctuary called All Horses Go to Heaven, located in Sperryville, Virginia. So really giving a lot of thought to who's going to take care of our pets long term, and then how we're going to finance the care for our pets, and then ultimately giving some serious consideration to creating a pet trust for the care of our pets. So I think that's a good introduction to get us started to thinking about how do we plan for multiple pets. But today we are going to be talking with our special guest who's going to be speaking to us on the issue of animal hoarding. And I'd like to welcome to the show Greg Morton. Welcome, Greg. How are you?
Great to be here, Peggy.
You are welcome. So Greg is a Florida attorney. He's also an animal law attorney. He's the past vice chair and the current chair of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee. Now, if you are a regular listener to this show, you know that a couple of weeks ago we talked with another member of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee, and we're pleased to have Greg here today. The other thing that Greg does is he's the current co-chair of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee Hoarding Subcommittee, so that's why I picked him to be an expert on this topic. He has a lot of very interesting things in his background, including being the 2013 winner of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee Outstanding Service Award, the past board member and VP of the St. Francis Wildlife Association. He currently serves on the board of Pets Ad Litem, and he owns and operates an animal law site called FloridaAnimalLaw.com. Wow, Greg, I'm tired of thinking about all the things that you do just by reading your resume.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, originally I'm from Dayton, Ohio, and I grew up in the Ohio area. That's where I went to undergraduate and graduate school. And around about 1998, I got so tired of Ohio winters that I said I need to move to Florida. And so I came down to the University of Florida Law School and went there for law school, and then graduated in 2000 from U.S. and moved to Tallahassee in early 2001 to clerk with Justice Perry Lee Anstead at the Florida Supreme Court. Currently, I'm a state attorney with the state doing labor and employment and administrative matters, in addition to the stuff I do with animal law through the committee.
So, do you love living in Tallahassee?
I do. It's kind of coming from UF. There's the whole Gators versus Seminoles rivalry, but the longer I'm in Tallahassee, the more it grows on me. It's a slower pace than lots of other places in Florida.
Well, and the nice thing about Tallahassee, I guess, is that you get the best of Florida. So you get a little bit of coolness in the winter and maybe not quite so hot in the summer.
Yeah, there's definitely a change of seasons. Not as dramatic as Ohio, thankfully, but we do have a fall and winter up here.
Well, absolutely. And my dad is also an Ohio State graduate. So, you went to Ohio University. Sorry, that was almost an insult, wasn't it?
I did go to Ohio State for a while, so I've got some claim to some Buckeye credentials in my background.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, I remember going to Dayton one time when I was working as a college recruiter. I did recruiting for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University and had the opportunity to go to the famous Dayton Air Show.
Right, yeah. It's the Air Force Museum there and everything related to the Air Force are a big deal in Dayton.
So our topic today is to talk about animal hoarding. And I introduced the show by saying that I have 3 horses, 7 dogs, and 2 cats. Do you think that would make me an animal hoarder, Greg?
No, and that's something that one of the things that folks have tried to do is define what animal hoarding is. It's really kind of an amorphous concept, and it's the research on it is something that's ongoing. It's only within the past 10 years that they've added it to the DSM manual as a recognized mental disorder, and that's hoarding in general. But generally, if you're talking to someone who knows about hoarding or mental health expert, they say that it's someone who has more than the typical number of animals, and in addition to that, though, they fail to provide even minimal standards of nutrition, sanitation, shelter, veterinary care, things like that. And the result of that failure to provide even minimal standards will result in illness and death of animals. And the other thing is that's common in hoarding is that people deny the inability to provide for the minimum care. So one of the things I usually tell people is it's not really a number of animals that you have. It's really that second thing. It's the care. There could be someone who has 5 cats that might be classified as a hoarder because they're failing to provide that minimal standard of care, but then there's someone with 100 animals that's providing the care and would not be classified as a hoarder.
So I'm starting to feel a little bit better because friends jokingly call me a hoarder, I think if you came to my house, you would see that all of my pets are really well cared for. They all they live in a nice, clean space. I've converted my garage into a dog house entirely, which is air-conditioned and tiled. And I think most of my pets probably have it a little bit better than I do sometimes.
Yep, it sounds like you're in the clear.
At least they have me pretty well trained. They have figured out how to make me go to work every day so that I can provide for all of their creature comforts. And you know, they're very demanding when it's time for breakfast and dinner and playtime. So they've got me trained pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So you mentioned that animal hoarding is really a mental health issue. So talk a little bit more about that aspect of animal hoarding, because I think that maybe a lot of people aren't aware that that would be the case, and we just think that people that have a lot of animals are, you know, like we would call them the crazy cat lady or something like that. But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
Right, it really does. And one of the things that has been said about hoarders, certainly that you have the stereotype of a crazy cat lady, but the more research that's done by mental health folks, the more it can really be anyone. And even as recently as this year, some folks who have done a lot of research with Tufts University have suggested that there's different types of hoarders and that you really need to classify them in different ways. And they've come up with three different classifications, the first being overwhelmed caregivers, and those are people that are more passive. They've taken care of their animals in the past, but they've had a monumental change in their life circumstances, loss of a spouse, loss of income, that sort of thing. And generally they just get overwhelmed with their animals, and they're more passive about going out and getting animals. It's more, they don't spay or neuter animals, so they reproduce. Then you have what folks have classified as rescuers, and they have a strong sense of mission that they need to go out and help these animals, and that they're vehemently opposed to euthanasia of any animals or fear of death of their animals, even in situations where they fail to recognize that they're not giving quality care to the animals they have. And they're more aggressive about going out and seeking out new animals. And the third is the ones that are probably the most serious and the most difficult to resolve, and they're the exploiters, and they tend to exhibit sociopathic characteristics and acquire animals to serve their own needs and don't show any sort of real attachment to the animals. It's just more of an extreme need to exert control over them. And they tend to be the ones that most hide their hoarding behaviors, and they're the most difficult to address.
Well, and I know we've seen some examples of pet hoarding on television, so I think the listeners are probably aware that this can be a very serious situation. I don't guess this is something that'll be resolved anytime soon. I mean, there's not like a magic pill you can take to suddenly no longer be an animal hoarder. We're going to talk more about this interesting topic of animal hoarding when we come back from our break. You can, of course, call us at 718-766-4996 if you have a question, or you can post to our Facebook page on All My Children Wear Fur Coats, or you can follow us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. Today we're talking with our special guest, Greg Morton. We're looking forward to having him back in a moment. I'm Peggy Hoyt. We were talking earlier about estate planning for your pets. If you are a pet lover, not a hoarder, but a pet lover, and you have a lot of pets that need to be planned for, you need to be thinking about caregivers, you need to be thinking about resources, and you need to be thinking about the concept of pet trust. And we are going to share more about that when we come back. We appreciate having you here, and we will be right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
naturechannel.fm. amazing talk radio shows, from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. Nature'sChannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturechannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horse's Heart and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturechannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stall.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on naturechannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on naturechannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturechannel.fm. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and we're talking today with our special guest, Greg Morton, an animal law attorney here in the state of Florida. So, Greg, welcome back.
Great to be back.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about your background in animal law and how you got interested in the whole field of animal law.
Well, I've been a vegan vegetarian for 20 years, and part of that was prompted by reading some animal law philosophy, people like Pete Singer and Tom Regan, Gary Francione, and folks like that, and just the whole idea that animals are viewed as property under the law. But I really got interested in law school, and I give a lot of credit to my professor at UF, David Hoke. It was the second time ever that UF had a course in animal law, and that was back in the day when there weren't a lot of schools teaching it. Now I think it's pretty commonplace. All the Florida schools, law schools offer some sort of animal law. And after law school, I started a website and social media in terms of following Florida animal law and kind of took an interest in it. Did some work with a national animal organization and pro bono work with Animal Legal Defense Fund and volunteered with other groups. And then more recently, I've joined the boards of a few different animal organizations. I'd say primarily the most of my stuff these days that I do with regard to animals through the Florida Bar's Animal Law Committee. I was a past chair, vice chair, and I've been in, served in other capacities. And it was recently that I asked the ALC to start a hoarding subcommittee, and right now I'm the co-chair of that committee with Janet McDonald. And the goal of the subcommittee is to collect resources and expertise and educate the public about the problem.
And the really, that becomes one of the challenges, is that education challenge on getting the word out so that people really are more aware that people who are animal hoarders are not necessarily intentionally being cruel to the animals, but that they do have this underlying mental health issue.
Right. One of the things that the Tufts has kind of spearheaded is something called the interdisciplinary approach, and they took a look at the problem and how can you improve outcome in hoarding cases. And it's really a large part of the problem is you've got different stakeholders that aren't communicating with each other. So you have animal control officers, law enforcement officers, lawyers and judges, mental health experts, private and public animal rescue groups, and local government. And they aren't always working towards the same end, which is to get these people treatment and to make the best outcome for both the person and the animal. So one of the things that Tufts is recommending is that you talk to all those people, educate them about the problem and what they should be doing with their
small
part
of
the case, and treating it that way.
So one of the things that I'm noticing on some of the websites that I'm looking at, and I want to make sure that our listeners can have some of these websites, but on the ASPCA.org website, they do have frequently asked questions about animal hoarding. You can also find frequently asked questions on the Tufts website as well. But one of the things that they're indicating is that if you think you know somebody that might be an animal hoarder, some of the things to look for are going to be not just how many animals they have, as Greg said earlier, but that they might have a lot of animals and may not even know exactly how many animals that they have in their care. That would be one sign. A second sign would be potentially that their home is deteriorated. This could include things like dirty windows, broken furniture, holes in the wall or the floors, extreme clutter. Another sign could be the strong smell of ammonia, floors that might be covered with dried feces or urine, vomit, etc. Another sign could be that the animals are emaciated or lethargic or not well socialized. Another good sign would be that you might have fleas or other vermin might be present. Another sign would be that the individual who has these animals may be isolated from the community. They might appear to be neglecting themselves. They could live in rural areas as well. And then lastly, a sign might be that the individual insists that all of the animals are happy and healthy, even when there are clear signs of distress or illness in the animals. Do you think that's a pretty good list, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, I've got that list here in front of me, and I'd say all those things are things that are red flags that there may be a situation that involves hoarding. Particularly, one of the things that's common in all of these hoarders is they do tend to be isolated from the rest of the community, so the animals are kind of like a refuge for them, and that's part of the reason that they insist that the animals are doing so well, even when there's clearly these problems that you mentioned, like the smell of ammonia. I know I've seen different situations where animal control has to put on hazmat suits to go into to address severe hoarding cases.
And then you wonder how even a human being could be alive under those sets of circumstances.
Right. I mean, it's that's one of the things that they talk about at Tufts, is that it's not only are the animals suffering, but the people are suffering. Sometimes these people have children in the situations, or the disabled adults, and unable to care for themselves as well. So they're living in those conditions and suffering from some of the same problems that the animals are suffering from.
Yeah, so that makes that situation just all the more sad. Do you have any statistics or know where we could find statistics on animal hoarding here in the state of Florida?
That's a good question, and the easy answer to that is no, I don't know that. One of the things that I'd like to see is some sort of collection of statistics to show how prevalent hoarding is in Florida. I mean, part of the reason I got interested in it is anecdotally, when I was running my website, every day, every couple of days, something would pop up with 50 animals found here, 100 animals found here, 200 animals found, just all over the state. You were coming across different situations, but there's no real centralized place that's recording those or the outcomes or what they're doing to address it. So one of the places I go is a website called pet-abuse.com. They tend to collate news articles, at least, whether they're convictions or allegations. And there's hundreds of cases that they have reported in Florida. Nationally, I know the ASPCA estimates that there's upwards of 900 to 2,000 new cases of animal hoarding every year in the United States, with a 250,000 animals falling victim to hoarding.
So that's incredible, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons I got interested in it, too, is because with standard animal cruelty cases where someone beats a dog or kills a cat or another companion animal, at least that's, I mean, it's a horrible situation, but that's one animal and the suffering is over. In hoarding situations, there's multiple animals, and the suffering just continues and continues and continues. So it's really a horrible problem.
So the website that you mentioned is pet-abuse.com, and it looks like they do maintain a lot of animal abuse statistics. They talk about the abuse connection, and in fact, we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks with a special guest who's going to talk about the animal abuse-human connection, talks about animal cruelty, talks about laws related to hoarding and other animal cruelty, also as a place where you can consider to adopt a pet, and then how we can prevent animal abuse in this country, and even a way to report abuse of animals. And I'm not familiar with these folks that maintain this website, but it looks like it's a terrific website.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job. Again, it'd be nice. I think that they'll publish their statistics with a caveat that this isn't complete. It's the best job we could do. So it'd be nice if someone was mandating keeping those statistics, but in the interim, they serve a good service in keeping those sorts of reports.
Well, and it's probably like any kind of statistical databases. It's impossible to capture 100% of the information, and then you really just do the best job that you can do to try to keep people involved. As my listeners know, my dad was the president of the Humane Society of the United States during his career for 27 years, and part of their mission was education. So I really think it all comes back around to making sure that we're talking about these issues, that we're educating people about the different things to be aware of, whether it's hoarding or other forms of animal abuse. But on the positive side of having pets, this program is also dedicated to educating listeners about the importance of planning for their pets, making sure that your pets are going to be cared for in the event of a natural disaster, in the event of your disability, either temporary or permanent, and also what happens to your pets if something happens to you. So talking about the lifetime care of your pets, utilizing pet trusts or other planning techniques to make sure that we're going to know that your pets are taken care of absolutely without question. If you do have a question and you want to call us, our phone number is 718-766-4996, or you can post your question to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You can follow us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on Nature's Channel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Nature'sChannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. Nature'sChannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stall.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on natureschannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on natureschannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Peggy Hoyt, your host of All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You're listening to natureschannel.fm. We're taking your calls at 718-766-4996, or you can post to our Facebook page on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. We have with us today special guest Greg Morton. Greg is a Florida animal law attorney, and he is the current co-chair of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee Hoarding Subcommittee. So today we're talking about animal hoarding, not a topic that necessarily a lot of people know a lot about. And so, Greg, do you think that animal hoarders should be criminally prosecuted?
Well, unfortunately, today I think that that's the only mechanism a lot of times that they have to deal with hoarding situations, but it really isn't a good fit. The criminal justice system often doesn't take into account the mental illness aspects we've been talking about, and a lot of times what really is necessary to solve the problem is follow-up and treatment. And judges and prosecutors won't always know about that. I think that things are changing, and judges and prosecutors are starting to look into those sorts of avenues. But the recidivism rate without any sort of intervention for animal hoarding is 100%. So if someone's criminally prosecuted, has their animals taken away, a lot of times it's not even a felony crime, it's a misdemeanor. They can be right back out on the streets and then repeating the hoarding behavior over and over again. So criminal prosecution is really not the best way to go to resolve these issues.
Well, and I see on the ASPCA website that one of their experts says that hoarders are like drug addicts. You can't cure them. You can only try and prevent relapses.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good analogy, I think.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking about my own pets, and, gosh, if I was a hoarder and I was forced to give up my animals, not only would that be the hardest thing in the world for me, I mean, I would feel like I had my family taken away from me.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see that in the reports of different case studies where part of the hardest part of convincing these folks to give up their pets is that they think that they're the only ones that can care for them and that they're the only ones that know what these pets need, even in situations where, I mean, the pets are clearly suffering.
Yeah, that would be the hardest situation. I can kind of sympathize with the idea thinking that, you know, I'm the only one that can provide the best care for my pets. But I do a lot of animal rescue, and so I've adopted a lot of dogs and cats in my life. And I'm always amazed at how resilient animals are in terms of adapting to their new home environment, to being very grateful in some aspects for having this new home. And, you know, all animals, I think we can learn from animals in the sense that animals live in the present and they're not necessarily thinking about where they lived a year ago or 2 years ago or what their circumstances were. They're just focusing on their current situation at this exact moment.
Yeah, and that's definitely when you come across one of these hoarding situations, when local animal rescues get involved and or animal shelters even, a lot of people will come out of the woodwork and help out because the thing that they want to do quickly is adopt out these animals. And I think that the silver lining in a lot of these cases when hoarding is discovered and the animals are seized, that those animals can move on to better living situations.
Well, and my dog Wolfie that I have right now, he's a Labrador Husky mix. His mother was a Husky that was living under the front porch of a home in West Virginia, and it was a bit of a hoarding situation. This dog had 8 puppies, and a local animal rescue was able to convince the owner to give up 5 of the 8 puppies. And Wolfie was not in that first group of 5, and the animal rescue was able to adopt out the first 5 puppies. And then, fortunately for me, the animal owner ultimately gave up the remaining 3 puppies as well as the mother, and all of the dogs were able to be placed in new forever homes. And that's how I came to get my dog Wolfie.
Well, that's a happy ending to the story.
That was a happy ending. So are you aware of any laws against animal hoarding, Greg?
Some states have adopted specific laws against animal hoarding and gone to the lengths to define animal hoarding and create criminal punishments that are linked to that terminology. Hawaii and Illinois have done that. Part of the problem in those states is that they've done something that we were talking about earlier, which is they've tied it to specific numbers of animals, and you really can't do that. Here in Florida, the people that hoard are generally prosecuted under the general animal cruelty statutes or the neglect statute for a failure to provide food, water, sustenance, or adequate living conditions. So we don't have a specific hoarding law on the books here in Florida, but that's typically where those prosecutions come from.
Well, and I'm noting that Illinois' law is called the Illinois Companion Animal Hoarder Act. It was created in 2001 to create an actual legal definition for the term companion animal hoarder. And one of the things that law does is it mandates counseling for people who are convicted of animal cruelty and who meet the definition of an animal hoarder. Although the act of animal hoarding itself is not prohibited by statute, so I guess it's the animal cruelty aspect combined with the companion animal hoarder definition. So do you think counseling is a solution?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see something like that implemented in Florida, even maybe as some sort of bench manual or something for judges to, if these cases come in front of them, that that's the type of thing that they're thinking about in their orders, some sort of assessment for mental health. And also judges that see these cases that kind of have briefed themselves on what to do will include language in their orders preventing folks from owning animals going forward and have follow-up from animal control because of the recidivism problem we were talking about. You want follow-up to make sure that the people aren't relapsing into the situation where they're getting more animals again.
Well, and hopefully most laws don't completely prevent animal hoarders from having pets because pets do fulfill so many needs in our lives, and I would hate to think that somebody who went from having too many animals to having none, that would be, I would think that would be more traumatic than trying to counsel them through correct care for a pet and allowing them to have one or two pets.
Right. I'd say that's true, particularly of the overwhelmed caregiver type hoarders that we're talking about. Have the folks that are the zealot rescuers or the sociopathic exploiters, I wouldn't want them to have animals going forward. But yes, there's a lot of people out there that just because of life circumstances get themselves into trouble and could probably handle having a lower number of animals. And a lot of times when these things aren't criminally prosecuted, that's how animal control will address it with the person. They'll go out and get them to surrender certain number of animals or different animals and kind of get them back to a situation where they are able to maintain some level of care for the animals that they have.
Well, I think that would be wonderful. And I know that Michigan State University, through their Animal Legal and Historical Center, does have a detailed discussion of animal hoarding on their site, including some of the states that are that have laws pending currently. So as Greg and I mentioned, it's only Illinois and Hawaii that currently have laws on the books. Some states have some pending laws. It looks like North Carolina may be headed in that direction. We would love it if Florida would be headed in a direction of being helpful to people who have those hoarding tendencies. We're talking about this very important topic of animal hoarding today because we want to educate our listeners and others about what is animal hoarding, how can it be recognized, what are some of the options for preventing it. But for those people who are not animal hoarders, they're just animal lovers, we want to also make sure that we've taken steps to ensure that our pets are going to be cared for the rest of their lifetimes. This would mean in the event of a natural disaster, in the event of our personal disability, in the event we pass away, making more than sure that our pets are going to be cared for. So that means a selection of caregivers, not just initial caregivers, but also backup caregivers, having resources to provide for the care of the pets, and ultimately having a pet trust to ensure that all of the terms and conditions of caring for somebody's pets are going to be carried out. You're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturschannel.fm. You can call us at 718-766-4996. You can post your questions to our Facebook page at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. And you can follow us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats. We're going to come right back with special guest Greg Morton. We'll see you in a moment.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats, with estate planning attorney and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
naturechannel.fm. Amazing talk radio shows from gardening to animals, natural health and wellness, and fighting for nature. naturechannel.fm. It's where we grow.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturechannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturechannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stall.
Serendipity, every Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on naturechannel.fm. Want to know what the latest garden trends are? Learn about homesteading techniques and get helpful tips that will help your garden grow? Join Shelley Levis as she explores eco-friendly gardening methods and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Serendipity, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on naturechannel.fm.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live and find archives at naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with estate planning attorney and animal advocate Peggy Hoyt, airing every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time here on naturechannel.fm. Find archives and more at legacyforyourpet.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Peggy Hoyt, and you're listening to All My Children Wear Fur Coats on naturechannel.fm. We're talking with our special guest today, Greg Morton.
Greg is
the current co-chair of the Florida Bar Animal Law Committee on Hoarding. And we have been talking about lots of issues related to animal hoarding today. So one of the things that we know is that it tends to be that older widowed women get stereotyped as being animal hoarders, sometimes referred to as the crazy cat lady. But it appears that there was a study done that hoarders can be both male or female, young or old, and they can come from all sorts of different socioeconomic backgrounds. It looks like the predominantly that the offenders are female, and usually between the ages of 50 and 59, while 33% of the offenders are male between the ages of 50 and 59. So it looks like these are problematic for animal hoarding. What do you think about that, Greg?
Well, I'd say that keep your eyes on the research, because some of those things, it's really a groundbreaking area when it comes to mental health research. And the more recent studies have kind of come out with saying, yeah, it is a more of a mix of people, and people can be all ages. I think a lot of people got focused on case studies and that stereotype that you mentioned, but when you're talking about wildlife and other types of animals that folks hoard, it really is kind of all over the place. And more recent research has kind of demonstrated that some of those earlier things may not be quite as cut and dry as we'd thought.
I know, and so a lot of times I think we think of cats as being predominantly hoarded animals, and that may be because they're a little bit easier to conceal, but certainly they're not the only type of animal that people hoard.
Right. I think most cases are cats are fairly common. Dogs are second most common, but then beyond that, you've got birds, wildlife, reptiles, just about any type of animal that folks can get and control may be susceptible to hoarding. And a lot of times people will hoard more than one different kind of animal.
Yes, that could be true as well. So that's why I was concerned about myself at the beginning of the show. But Greg, I do want to thank you so much for joining us here today and talking about this very important topic of animal hoarding. We want to remind our guests that you can find us on Facebook at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You can visit Greg's site at floridaanimallaw.com, floridaanimallaw.com. He has a lot of information on that site about all aspects of animal law. And we're here each week on Mondays at 3 o'clock talking to you about estate planning issues related to pets, talking to animal experts throughout the nation on different topics, not just law, but we talked a couple weeks ago with Kim Capes about her rescue called In Harmony with Nature, where she rescues wolves and wolf hybrids, and not that we recommend that, but we're glad that she's taken that off the plate. But you can find us here each week. You can find us on Twitter at Kids in Fur Coats, and you can always send us your questions. We hope that each one of our listeners will take excellent care of their pets and that we always have our pets' best interests at heart. I know that I do, and if you want to see pictures of my pets, you can actually go to Instagram and check us out at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. We're looking forward to seeing you each week at 3 p.m. on All My Children Wear Fur Coats, and we are wishing you a happy tails.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats here on NaturesChannel.fm. All My Children Wear Fur Coats explores options and alternatives for creating a lasting legacy for your pet. Visit LegacyForYourPet.com to join our email list for updates on shows, links to archives, information on complimentary pet planning workshops, and more. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Happy tails! See you next week.